May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 622. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. Hymn 622.
Oh, Let us read together for our instruction from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 25 and 26. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 25 and 26. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defence city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat of a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of mallow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord for ever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing. Ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. The Lord bless to us that portion of his holy word and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we seek to come before thee once more. Lord, we feel that surely we must come to the end in ourselves. And sometimes we have feeling they come there, but then hast thou not taken us up and helped us still to pray. Lord, the apostle spoke of not knowing how to pray as he ought. And so, Lord, it comes with us. But may the gracious Spirit put within our mouths that which may be uttered before thee, and gather up the desires of the people, that they too may find an echo in their hearts and a desire of thee those things that are thus spoken. Lord, we do desire thy gracious presence. We desire thy help in hearing and in speaking. We desire, O Lord, that our hearts might be tuned to sing thy praises, tuned to make upon the stringed instruments, as it were, that joyful sound. But how can such who feel like those in captivity, who hung their harps upon the willows and could not sing a song of Zion? Thou knowest, Lord, how sometimes our hearts are heavy, and oh, how we would long to be able to make those blessed, joyful notes. But instead, we find we have to mourn. We have to bemoan our own sad case. We have to confess our shortcomings. We have to say what fools we've been and what fools we are. And Lord, we have found ourselves running in the ways which are not convenient, and being ensnared and enticed and drawn aside. But could it please thee to now enliven our hearts, encourage us to continue in the way, however hard and rough it may be, against the wind, the storm, the tide, oh, that we might know the blessedness of being victorious. Lord, we find that there are many enemies, and we sometimes are overcome by them, but oh, to overcome at the last. Oh, to find that our victory does not hang in doubtful scales as we fear, because thou hast obtained the victory for us, having conquered a sin, hell, Satan, that last great enemy, death, and hath risen and been victorious over the grave. O Lord, we do therefore desire that we might know the life and awake and sing, having dwelt in dust. Lord, we pray that we may find that in so doing all our enemies may rise up one against the other as they did before Jehoshaphat. And there, when they went forth by the cliff of Ziz, they were to see the dead there strewn. O Lord, we do therefore desire that though we may not fight a natural battle, yet in the spiritual warfare, our enemies are brought to nothing. The gods also that may have been of our old heart also cannot, shall not rise. But may it be that thou art our God and be our guide down to death. Now, Lord, we do commend unto thee those young in age, the babes that were with us this morning but are not this evening, parents that are fulfilling their duties and putting their little ones to bed, that others, Lord, may have come because they are able to do so. But whatever may be the case, may wisdom be given to parents, and may thy merciful grace be over the children. And as they grow up into years, that more of that keeping power may be realized. They are not able to do like perhaps others do, though they may wish to do it, to find there is a hand that prevents. Oh, we do pray that they may be brought to realize that there is nothing in this world that can ever satisfy, and that all is emptiness, vanity of vanities, and vexation of spirit. Only the thing which may come from thee, that blessed gift of thy Holy Spirit, to work in them to will and to do of thy good pleasure, that only and be the thing to give them joy, that they may rejoice in the Lord and be thankful for his mercy. If they are brought to know that mercy, Lord, we would also desire thy rich blessing upon those that are now hastening on in years, proving the infirmities of the flesh, and yet rejoicing in the fact that their days will soon be ended. But not always may they thus rejoice, finding the grasshopper being a burden, and sometimes finding that pains and discomforts only increase. And though with the one desire it may be to be freed from those things, yet on the other hand, the solemnity of facing that last and final article, death. Oh, may they, Lord, be given the strength, be given the courage, and be given the sweet anticipation that may look beyond whatever the affliction may be. Considering it as the apostle speaks, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And surely, Lord, it is, for soon all will be finished, as far as this world and life is concerned. And if in thy infinite mercy thou dost gather our souls to thyself, then to join in the everlasting song, in singing God is love. We now pray that thou wilt be gracious unto those bereaved, and do support and sustain them in their losses, and look upon thy servants unable to minister and bless them. May they find, Lord, that if able to hear, they may be blessed in hearing. But if confined to their beds, yet it may be that the affliction laid upon them there proves to be that after ye have suffered a while, that thou mayest strengthen, settle, establish them even more, that they might be as instruments in thy hand for the blessing of thy people. Now, Lord, we would also pray thy mercy upon those in persecution. Some may suffer the persecutions near at hand in families, or some may know much persecution in their business way of life. But there are those, Lord, exposed to the outward persecution from the powers that be, and from those that hate the very name of Christ. Lord, we do pray that they may be upheld and sustained, even unto death. So we commend them to thee. And now I do have mercy, Lord, upon our sovereign queen. We would pray for her. Oh, that her heart truly may be affected by the word. If she should read it, if there should be any part or anything spoken in her hearing, when she attends the place of worship, oh Lord, we may perhaps fear that much that now goes on within the so-called churches of our land comes far short of the preaching of the gospel. But if one word shall be spoken that is true, that is God glorifying, that may be applied to her heart, oh then what a mercy it will be. Be mindful also of her husband, and he is still continuing in his old age those duties. May they be upheld and supported. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be merciful to us as a land and nation. Remember particularly thy little remnant. Watch over and preserve. Deliver us, Lord, from evil men whose intentions may be to bring the realities of truth to nothing, but we know they never can. So do hear us then. Now pardon us of every sin and all that we've uttered amiss. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 893. If guilt pursue thee with its cry, and would to prison hail, to Jesus Christ the surety fly, and he will give in bail. Hymn 893.
Thank you.
The Lord may be pleased to help me. I would direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 25, and read in verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. For this is the Lord, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 25 and the 9th verse, And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for thee, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. A helpless, feelingly held, deserving sinner who longs for deliverance from under the bondage of their sin, brought into that felt condemnation because of the sins they feel lay so heavy upon their heart. They are verily guilty. They cannot deny what they are by nature. And they may wrestle at the throne of grace, desiring that the Lord will appear and that he will come as the text desires, and that he will make himself known. And yet there is a day, an appointed time, a moment when the Lord's work will be declared and seen, and then those fears will all be driven away. And then the sense of our condemnation may then cease, and the blessed words spoken, There is now therefore no condemnation to them that believe. Oh, for the grace to believe. You feel the power of unbelief, you feel often overcome by these things, and yet here is the day, and it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. Now we look back and we see the previous verse of what our God will do, swallow up death in victory. And how did he swallow up that death in victory? An amazing thing it is for a poor destitute sinner to look out of self and see instead one there bearing his iniquity. Those are sins imputed to the blessed substitute, the one who would there be in the sinner's place to bear our sins in his own body, where? On the tree. Calvary's cross, where he would be taken, there lifted up. But in the lifting of him up, there is hope for poor sinners. they may then be drawn unto him, because they see this as the Holy Ghost reveals it to them, with their sin laid upon him, and he bearing it there for them. He who knew no sin could do no sin. He was the Holy Son of God. He is the High Priest of our profession. There, as our High Priest, he is spoken of as the Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The priest, when he was to offer up, Aaron was to offer up, he must be cleansed. He must be seen as without anything which would contaminate the very offering that he was offering, because that which was being offered would had the sins imputed to it, so that it might be a lively offering in the eyes of those Israelites, of those comers who had come having to confess their iniquity. But when they could not draw near, because God was holy, they unholy, then Aaron would take that offering, offer it up, and sprinkle the blood of it upon the horns of the altar and before the veil. And once in a year, that great day of atonement, he would enter into the holiest of all to sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat. And when that was accomplished, then they would see that death was swallowed up in victory, but in a very imperfect manner. For they could only see what was typified. But we have the blessing of the One who is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and who offered himself, the Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And when he laid down his life, death was swallowed up in victory. It was an acceptable offering unto the Father. What the Father had commanded of his Son, he sent him, he gave him, and the dear Son came, in full willingness, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. That sin atoning blood may be shed, to wash a guilty worm and make him clean. And that all therefore that was charged against him, I mean the sinner, was laid upon him, I mean our glorious and blessed substitute, our sin bearer, that he might bear the punishment of all our sin and yet live. Yes, he ever lives, though he laid down his life. He had the power, the authority. He had received it of his Father. He had the power and the authority because he was sinless in himself, and could be nothing else. He had the power and the authority because he could present all those that were his as faultless before the Father, because they found no fault in him. And therefore death is swallowed up in victory when he breaks the bands of death and rises from the tomb. Now, this is a glorious gospel for those who have looked for that day, have waited for it. And Simeon waited for it. How he could rejoice when his faith grew so gloriously warm to see that here was the Christ, the one that he had been promised. And if we just for a moment turn to the words of Simeon in his rejoicing, so we read this. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at these things. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. When the Lord therefore brings us to realize that our hope must center alone in the one offering, in the power of that offering, the blood of him who should so freely shed it. And what a fountain. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for sin and for uncleanness. And so, when such is opened up, who is it that has done it? What wondrous things are now accomplished? It is this our God. Ah, he is our God. Yes, this is where we see God and the sinner reconciled. Here we may see one who may tremblingly approach the awful throne of grace. I say awful It is indeed a sacred, glorious place, but fills the soul with awe under a realization, first of our unworthiness, secondly of our low estate, for however we look at it, we are of the earth, earthy, but God is in heaven. And so dare we approach unto him, yet here is a mercy seat. It is where God sits at the top, as he did of that ladder which Jacob saw. Jacob was at the foot of it. God was at the top of it. But there was that nail which stretched from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. And so Jacob may rise, though trembling, saying, how dreadful is this place? It is none other than the very house of God and the gate of heaven. And yet he had been preserved. He said, my life has been preserved. And so it is at the mercy seat. Now this is our God, who in all his condescending love should not consume, but rather preserve. Preserve his church, his people, through that work of divine condescension. For it is no less than the very Son of God who should assume our nature and be seen as the Son of Man. He did not lose what he was and ever must be. No, he is the person of the Son of God. Yet he assumed our nature that it might be taken into union with his divine nature, making that glorious person who could redeem a lost soul, redeem many a lost soul, redeem all those for whom he came to save, the vilest of them all, as you will be brought to know and feel yourself to be. Now this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, not worthy to be counted amongst them, but chosen. He was a chosen vessel. The angel told Ananias, he is a chosen vessel unto me, this persecutor, this one who had gone about persecuting the brethren, but persecuting Christ himself. Why persecutest thou me? Then the apostle, as he became, but Saul of Tarsus then was broken at his feet. He could not lead himself forth as he had gone forth with his natural eye, pressing on, determined to do what he would do. The Lord stopped him. Has the Lord stopped you? Stopped you in your mad career? And brought you now to enter into the street called straight, not literally, but in experience. And there you have to wait for him. And there it may be said, behold, he prayeth. Had the apostle prayed before? Doubtless many times he had prayed the formal prayers that were expected. He may have sung the Psalms countless times, but now he prays. He prayed from the heart. He prayed out of a sense of absolute need. He prayed perhaps in terror of what he deserved. But now this Jesus whom he had persecuted had appeared to him. Now he may have the consolation that instead of being plunged into perdition, he was saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. And in that day, oh, in that day it shall be said, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. It is the only way of salvation. We have perhaps looked to our own efforts. We have brought not literal sacrifices, but what we have considered as our many sacrifices. Try to make amends, improve our conduct, turn over our new leaves, perhaps year by year. Has it made us any better? We may have said our formal prayers and made our confessions, but when the Lord breaks the heart, when he then lays us low and we have to groan, your prayers won't then produce, or you won't be able to plead those prayers in the pride of your heart. Whatever you may have said formerly, you may have said it in all the pride of your heart, but now a broken-hearted sinner, he is humbled under the awful sense that he is utterly helpless. And he may thank God for his helplessness. Thank God, as the apostle did, for his weakness. Thank God that he is not able to boast in anything, even the blessed revelations that he had. They were the merciful goodness, the sovereign mercy of God, in revealing what was revealed to the apostle. He could not take one consideration that he had any part in it. It was God's work. No, this is our God. Yes, and He alone will save us. And he has saved, because our salvation begins in eternity. Our salvation is according to the covenant purpose of God. Our salvation is bound up in the fact that we are chosen in Christ. Chosen in him, God's own blessed servant, his elect, in whom his soul delights. He delights that here is one who may bring his many sons unto glory, or his many children. Yes, they all may be considered as sons. Sons are heirs, that is, those that are the eldest son. And yet, do we always find that the eldest son was made an heir? I just paused to turn aside to make this point. Was it not said concerning Jacob, who was the younger, that the elder would serve him? Who was the one that was chosen from Jesse's house to be king? The youngest who was left to mind the sheep when Samuel was commanded of God to visit the house? And who indeed may ever be able to boast of any inheritance until we can see that we are heirs with Christ? He is the dear Son of God. And if we are ever sons by salvation, through salvation, it is only through him, by blessed adoption, that we obtain the favour and obtain the inheritance, the lot that is fallen unto us and for us. Well, this is our God. Oh, this is our God, whom we now can see, who has brought unto us every blessing. Nothing is left out. Whatever may be missed by man can never be missed by God. And I would say the blessed God-man. He came to fulfill all righteousness. Then should there be anything left undone? Nothing. Or in that day, yes, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Gone to the end of the law for righteousness. A holy life, a holy death. Those are things which cannot prevent a glorious resurrection. Or rather, should I say, those are things that will make certain a glorious resurrection, and all other things cannot prevent it. No, he must rise. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs. And what does that mean? Under the sense of the blessings that come down through Jesus Christ, who himself came down, who is for his people all that they may be, the bread of life, that they may be partakers of him, with him. That in this, as the dew affects the herb which causes it to give forth the smell, the sweet odour, so with these things conveyed to the soul, feeling in themselves utterly unworthy, yet now humbled under the wonders of this grace. And why this grace for me? Well, it will be that which will fragrance the very house of God. And under the word of the ministry, the Lord will know whether your soul is drawn out unto him by the ministering of the word. This ministry that we have, so that we may obtain that mercy in the hearing of it. What a wonderful thing if we have the ear open to hear that there is mercy and mercy for me. When blind Bartimaeus heard the Saviour say, command him to come unto him. Ah, then, how he was so ready to rise up and go. The Lord, therefore, graciously does call his own dear people that he might show unto them the goodness. His supreme goodness in attending to their cry and answering their petition. Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. Have you struggled long in prayer? You might say, still I do. I still wait. Wait on. If these had waited and received, then shall we not wait and yet receive? We are exhorted again and again, and the psalmist exhorts his own soul, wait thou only upon God, for mine expectation is from him. I have waited for thee. Yes, this is the state of a living soul. He waits and waits again. You may say, I wish I could say I was waiting. I wish I could feel that zeal, that fervency of prayer. I wish I could pray so evidently, feelingly, every moment of the day and of the night. But my poor infirmities, oh, I find so ready to give up. I can pray no more. You've come to that, have you? I believe there has been many a child of God that has come to that place where, however earnest their prayers may have been before, and doubtless very earnest, they've come to the place where they can pray no more. When their prayers are ended, God begins. Their prayers, or the words of their prayers, may have ended, but the sweet fragrance lingers before the throne of grace. And the Lord's purposes, they ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. So we have waited for thee. And again we find that the prophet, he brings this forth the next chapter, in the 26th chapter, where he speaks again of that waiting. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within thee will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Oh, then the Lord brings us to these places, to these points, so that we may know him. Well, now I want to try and come to that, to know him. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. First of all, we know him in his condescension. A sinner that may feel so unworthy and utterly at such a distance that he can never hope that the Lord would look down upon him. Yet here he finds that when he has no strength or power to move a single step towards his God, then the Lord condescends to come where he is. I remember a dear soul, she's now, I believe, in heaven. And she told me in her, she was a rather rough and ready kind of person. What we might call a rough diamond. And she spoke of how she had pleaded that the Lord would come. And how that she had read of those in the scripture that went to him. But then she said, but instead he came to me. He came to me. And that is what we often prove. Oh, his condescension. He comes where we are. Let us just take a case or so. We may consider the prophecy of Ezekiel, that 16th chapter, when we read of what Israel is described as. And his birth was in the land of Canaan, his father an Amorite, his mother a Hittite. And there he was found in his blood. I will not read it all. One cast out, not swaddled at all. A hopeless case. And the Lord said, when I pass by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. And so, what a change, what a difference. All through the condescension of the God of Israel, who came in such a to one in such a state, and said, live. And said it twice. Once have I heard this, yea, twice. The power belongeth unto God. It is the power of that word. In power he condescends. In power he raises up. And so, We come to know our God in his condescension. We come to know our God in his power, because, as we have considered, the raising up from such a condition is by the almighty power, and it is the power of redemption. It is the power that is brought about through the shedding of blood. It is the power of him who can justify the sinner by his own merits. You may have tried to justify yourself by your merits, but he justifies his own dear people by his merits. So he declares unto his Father, these that he would have, these that are mine. And he pleads in that way in that 17th chapter of John, in a prayer that he makes to his Father, that these were thine, and thou gavest them me. Now, that is the very ground of it all. And so, you may come to know him in whom you were ever to be found. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And so he then goes on, and that I will that they shall be with me, even as I am with thee. And how many blessed terms of a similar nature are made in that high priestly prayer of our Redeemer. Well, we come to know him. We come to know him as the loving shepherd of his sheep. He finds us out. He puts us, as is set before us in the parable, upon his shoulder. He gently brings us along. Oh, how in loving kindness he found us out, and he brings us. He brings us into the fold, the blessed fold. Ah, and what then do we consider being brought into that fold, that these are mine, all mine are thine, and thine are mine? You see, when the sheep were set before us in that 10th chapter of John, there are these marks: they hear my voice, and they follow me. I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd careth for the sheep. Will he then leave one to wander and never go forth to bring it again? Not one. Not one. He'll leave the 99 for that one sheep, that there may be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And how he brings the penitent sinner to know this God who pardons sin. Well, you may say, I wish, I long to know my pardon. Oh, if I only knew that, Well, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The mighty arm, that arm of an intercessor. When he saw there was no man, therefore his arm brought salvation. And I believe it says he brought salvation unto me. Oh no, nothing else can bring up a poor sinner from the pit. No other means can rescue him from a lost estate but that mighty arm of salvation. Well, what a blessed salvation it is. To raise the beggar from the dunghill, to set him among princes. What must be done for the beggar to there take the prince's place? Well, first of all, he will need to be washed. And when there is that washing, he won't be washed in all his filthy clothes. They must be taken off. There's the stripping first. So the washing will be effectual. And to wash your poor soul in all its felt nakedness and yet to know the cleansing virtue of that precious ocean. That precious, there's ocean that's made for sin. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. But then he must be dressed with the best robe. The robe that may be fitting for a prince, for a king, for a priest, for one who may be considered as one with his Saviour, clothed in a righteousness which is without the possibility of, which is without any possibility of it being blemished. Not a blemish in his righteousness. But that is how we stand before him. Clothed in our right mind. Clothed in that which can never be tainted by sin. Now, however many times you may feel to fail, you may still have to come and confess your sin. I hope you do. Daily to repent of sin, indeed. But if we have this righteousness, this robe, then we come before him and he sees the very righteousness which has been imputed unto us. We are now accepted in the Beloved, and so all our confessions, the confessions of our sin, we find we have a faithful God who is faithful to forgive us our sins. Now what a blessed thing to wait for. To wait on him. Thou canst not fail. Make all thy wants and wishes known. Jesus, his merits must prevail. And so you can be assured of this, that you will be glad and rejoice in this salvation. And so we wait. We wait on. We wait with a who can tell. We wait, though at times with the realization that he has blessed us, and that he does bless us, and he will bless us. He will bless both small and great. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £640, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, and the Oakington New Year services will be held, God willing, on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 323. When darkness long has veiled my mind, and smiling day once more appears, then my Redeemer, then I find the folly of my doubts and fears. Hymn 323.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.